If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are continuing on answering your questions. Shout out to everybody who has reached out to me, just letting me know that our last episode was exactly what you needed. That's why I love to do these mailbag episodes, because most of the time we are all dealing with the exact same thing. And to hear somebody else's question that is relevant to you that you may not have written in, I feel like lets you know that you are not alone. It lets you know that the Lord sees you and He's provided a way for us to have a conversation that is important to you and really meets a prayer point. So I love doing these, and I'll probably continue to do it. I've historically have done them sporadically, but I think quarterly is a good cadence for us, but we'll see. Before we hop into the questions, I want to share a testimony with you guys. Like, I meant to record this episode a few days ago, but things have been pretty busy for me, but I'm glad I waited, because I have an amazing testimony that I want to share. Many of you know, whether you read my book, She is Uncompromising, or you've been listening to the podcast for a while, that back in 2021, my grandmother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. When we found out that she had cancer, she had no idea. We had no idea. She said she wasn't feeling 100%, and she went to an urgent care. And this was in the pandemic. So she was diagnosed in March. So this had to be around like February or so of 2021. And she was, of course, worried, like, you know, what if it's COVID or whatever? So she goes to the urgent care. They test her. They're like, you know, you don't have COVID, but let's just do a chest x-ray just in case, because she's older. She's in her 80s. And I think at this time she was in her late 70s. She's about 82 or 83 now. They did a chest x-ray and said, hey, you don't have COVID, but we need to send you to the hospital because you have masses, a lot of masses in your chest, and they're spreading quickly. They take her directly to the hospital. And from there, things just deteriorated extremely quickly, from all types of tests to her having to be on oxygen. Eventually, she was released from the hospital and then had to go back because she developed sepsis when she was released. We had to call an ambulance and everything to get her back to the hospital. It was traumatic. My grandmother is the matriarch of our family, as many of our grandmothers are. She and I are extremely close. I speak to her every day, multiple times a day, half of the time. She helps with my children. She homeschools my children to get them prepared to go to school. And I attribute everything that I've been able to do and who I am as a woman of God to her and her prayers specifically. There are times in my life that I could vividly pinpoint to where I went to her before making a very terrible decision, and her wisdom and her love and her prayers are the reason why I'm still here and I am who I am. And so I can't tell you enough how close we are. And that devastated us, our whole entire family. And so this was a tough time. The doctors, her cancer spread so rapidly that they didn't even know where it originated. They said it's either thyroid or lung, but it's everywhere. And she was never a smoker. The doctors were just astonished by what was happening in her body. But we continued to come together and pray as a family. They gave her a prognosis of 90 days when she was first diagnosed. 90 days. That was 5 years ago. She was very sick for, I want to say, the first couple of months, but then she just started getting better. And over the last 5 years, because there was only a few months in the beginning, but for the majority of this time, she has been very well. She takes care of herself. She needs no nurses, no caregivers. She goes to like her treatments once a month. And she had like her doctor's appointments here and there. But it, looking at her, you will have no clue that she had any type of cancer diagnosis. There are no indicators of it. Yesterday, she went to the doctor and she had been off her treatment for a while because she had like some other things, little small things that were going on. And so she hadn't been on treatment for a while. She goes to the doctor after getting a scan and they tell her that her cancer is in remission. And when I tell you, she actually came to my house right after the doctor's appointment because we had already planned for her to come over that day. She was helping me with the kids. And again, we're very close. And she came in singing that she's free. And it was such a beautiful moment. And I'm not going to sing because I can't, but she can. And she was just singing, "Thank the Lord, I'm free." And it was such a beautiful moment because she doesn't know how bad things were because we kept her in the dark and she wanted to be kept in the dark about like the severity of what was going on with her. And so, and she'll listen to this podcast, so she won't know. And if she just so happens to, it's fine. You know, she's in remission. But it was just, we are just in awe, in such gratitude of the Lord. And I share that testimony because, one, I told you guys about it when it happened, and I always like to come back and mark God's track record. But also for any of you guys that may be in the middle of a storm, I'm telling you, she is her life is a encourager for me, that anytime I'm going through something and I feel like, God, why did this happen? How did this happen? Where are you? What's going on? The way that he brought what was going on in her body to her attention, she had no clue this was even brewing. The way that he allowed it to be brought to her attention and the way that he's carried her through this whole situation, like the doctors will look at her and look at like her medical records and be confused. They like, so this is the patient? Like, are y'all sure this is the patient? She looks fine. How does her chart say this when she looks like this? She did not look like what she was going through at all. And so that in the middle of the storm was such a beautiful testimony. And now to be on the other side of this with it being a remission is something that we are rejoicing about as a family. But I share it here on this platform because I want to encourage anybody who may be going through something and wondering how it's going to turn out, wondering maybe you are dealing with sickness and you're wondering when the Lord is going to heal you. Maybe something is happening to you and you're wondering, God, why me? Understand that he is with you and he is who he says he is. you won't look like what you've been through. You don't have to look like what you're going through. God will give you peace. He will give you comfort, and He will restore everything that you feel like you lost. So I just wanted to share that testimony because, again, I've talked about it on the show. So I want to come back and just rejoice in what the Lord is doing. But also, the Bible says that we are saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I also wanted to share it for anybody who would be encouraged by it. All right, let's go to our first question for today's episode. It says, "Hi, Tatum. A question I have been struggling with recently is, how do I determine if my ambition is aligned with God's will for my life? As a busy mom to school-age children, working full-time career in social work, and running my own business, I've come to realize that I have been impacted negatively by hurry syndrome, which keeps me busy and overwhelmed. As a high achiever, it looks like success, but a recent doctor's appointment revealed the stress is having a significant impact on my body, and things need to change immediately. Am I meant to sit back and enjoy my children, wonderful husband, and the life that we've built? Or are the ideas and visions I have meant to be followed through because I believe God has given me the skills and gifts needed for entrepreneurship? Congratulations on the birth of your daughter, and thank you for taking the time to answer our questions." Sister, you are knocking on my door, because this is something that I have been thinking about often, and I have a lot of thoughts. The first one, and I'm going to hold your hand when I say this, it's time for a hard stop. Not a stop forever, but a major pause, because it's time to recalibrate. Your body is letting you know that the way in which you are doing things cannot continue. Your body is also letting you know that this is not how God wants you to operate. Right now, all of the things that you have, the business, your career, your marriage, your children, are conflicting with each other. And that is an indicator that there is a misalignment happening. This is why I'm a huge advocate for harmony over balance, because balance tells you, how do I make all of this work? How do I make all of this fit and get it all done? Harmony tells you, how do I exist in a way that is peaceful, that is aligned, that is in pace, and that's not rushed and hurried and stressful. Harmony allows us to operate with perspective. Harmony and hurry are polar opposites. So right now, because you recognize that you're operating from a state of hurry, now it's time to recalibrate and say, now, how do I operate from a space of harmony? Because the questions that you're asking are panic questions that are a result of you being in survival mode and trying to balance it all. And so what I'm asking you to do is to take a step back so that you could recalibrate and get to that place of harmony. So let's pull back the layers for a second, because you talked about your ambition and if your ambition is the will of God. The answer to that question is layered, because first we need to address, what is the root of the ambition? Is the ambition a byproduct of trauma? Is the ambition just in that high achieving nature? Is it really who I am? Or is this who I've become based off of whatever prior circumstances? Some people, I've heard women say that as they've grown and become healed through therapy, through growing closer with the Lord and Him healing their hearts, they become less ambitious. And I can fully see that. Because ambition on the surface looks like achievement, accomplishments, trophies. It looks like applause. Other people love to see it and make you feel good about it. But wisdom will make you really look up below the surface to see, what is the root of this ambition? Because if the root of it is, I only feel worthy when I'm accomplishing something, then that's a problem. That's not God's will. If the root of it is, my identity is wrapped in my accomplishments, that's a problem. That's not God's will, because your identity is in Christ. You should feel whole in Him. You should have your trust and your confidence in Him, not in what you can accomplish. So if there are some if your ambition is a byproduct of brokenness, is outside of the will of God. And that is something that you need to take to Him.
This episode is brought to you by IXL. With spring activities, sports, and busy schedules, it can be tough to keep academics front and center. IXL makes it simple to stay consistent and build momentum without adding stress. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're building math with confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, with personalized interactive content that adapts to each child's level and pace, it's an easy way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. I use IXL every single day, and we have been using it at least for the last year. I love IXL. My son loves IXL, and I'm actually getting ready to start my soon-to-be preschooler on IXL as well. My son loves it because it's like a game. It's super interactive, and I love it as a parent because while he thinks it's fun, I know it's also benefiting him. IXL adapts to each child's level, pace, and learning needs. It also saves you time and money. One subscription covers everything, pre-K through 12th grade, for all the kids in your home. And 1 hour of tutoring can cost more than an entire month of IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Now, some of us do have this, let's say, spirit of excellence. You're the type of person where when you set your mind to something, you get it done and you do it well. And I feel like over the years, because if I'm being honest, my ambition and drive for most of my life up until maybe about 8 or 9 years ago, I would say around the time I started this podcast, was rooted in brokenness. I felt like the only time people saw me and showed up for me was when I was accomplishing something. When I won a pageant, all of my family was there cheering me on. When I had a dance competition, everybody showed up. When I got some type of an award or had good grades, I would have everybody there cheering me on. But when I was just existing as me, without accomplishing something, I felt lost. I felt like I wasn't seen. I felt like I wasn't heard and I wasn't valued. And so what happened over the years was I started to do more, accomplish more, achieve more, because I was looking for that validation. But as I went to therapy and I gave my life truly to the Lord and I sought Him and pursued Him and allowed Him to transform me, He healed that brokenness in my heart. And that ambition now still remains, but it's not fueled by brokenness. And now, because that ambition and that high achieving nature is still there, but the healed version, it can get applied appropriately. So now the Lord gives me an assignment, and then I apply that achieving nature to doing it well. So now what started off as toxic ambition, rooted in brokenness, is now more so a spirit of excellence that is applied to the things that the Lord assigns. That's applied to the different roles that the Lord has called me to, like marriage and motherhood and things of that nature. And so I tell you to pause, because you taking a step back and sitting before the Lord will allow Him to show you first the root of the ambition. Because sometimes we can't even deal with the ambition yet. We have to deal with what's fueling it and make sure that it's not brokenness before we even ask the question of if my ambition is aligned with God's will for my life. Because once He heals you, if that ambition is still there, which honestly, I feel like it will be, because most of us, that's just a part of who we are. It just gets tainted by life and the things that happen and that we go through. So once you heal the brokenness that may be fueling that high achieving nature, now the Lord will help you steward it better. Something that the Lord shared with me, I did a training a couple of years ago, and then I repurposed it on the podcast. And prayerfully, I remember when this is over to put it in the show notes. But he revealed to me this formula, and I named it the God Math formula, because I was in this season where I was pulling back. The Lord was calling me to slow down. So I scaled back operations in my business drastically, and I had to. My business became very expensive to run, and it was very stressful to run because of how expensive it was. And, you know, I found myself just stressed tremendously from the business, and I had to make some decisions. And I took that to the Lord. And in addition to me making the hard business decisions of like letting people go and scaling back operations and things, I asked the Lord, okay, well, what does this look like now? What does life for me look like right now after making these tough decisions? And at that time, I had just had my second son. I had to let my nanny go, mostly because she just wasn't, her and my son just weren't connecting. She did great with my first son, but it was something about the second one where it wasn't clicking. So it wasn't working out. And I had to decide, like, okay, am I going to get a new nanny? I didn't want to, because the reality of not having a nanny anymore was it also freed up a lot of money for me. So it didn't make sense to be scaling back in my business and then also taking on or maintaining this expense of having a nanny. You got to pay for the nanny's hours. You have to pay for taxes. You have to pay for home employer's insurance when you have someone working in a home. I had to pay for the payroll software. I had to pay for health insurance. Like, there were a lot of expenses. So after letting the nanny go, I decided to just keep my son home with me. And I sat with the Lord on it, like, okay, God, how does this work with the business and all the things? And so he gave me this formula where he said consecration, which means being set apart, sitting close to and connected with and abiding in and dwelling in all the things we talked about last week, the Lord, having a lifestyle of consecration, plus concentration, meaning focused on the things that the Lord assigns, equals multiplication. And that multiplication that happens is supernatural. It's that multiplication where we see in the word one fish and five loaves fed thousands of people. It's that type of multiplication. We in our flesh like to focus on multitasking. How much can we do in order to get more done? But the multiplication that the Lord has for us supersedes anything that we can do with our own hands. And it almost feels counterintuitive, but that's why it's the Lord's way, because it cannot be done in our own strength. So when we exercise this formula and we live it out, we start to see fruit that we could have never produced in our own strength. And I saw this in real time, a time where I worked significantly less in my business. I was able to make significantly more while spending my days slow, peaceful, and full of joy and fulfillment. And so I believe the Lord wants to teach you a new way of doing things. Your body is overexerting itself because it is operating through itself. And I want you to hear me when I say that your body is overexerting itself and you're having health complications in your flesh because you have been operating through your flesh. And it's time for a hard stop so that you can switch your sources. So the short answer to your question of how do I determine if my ambition is aligned with God's will for my life? What is the source of it? Your second question, am I meant to sit back and enjoy my children, wonderful husband, and a life that we've built? Absolutely. And when you switch your source from self to the Holy Spirit, you will be able to do that because He will direct you to a life of harmony where all of those things are considered. Your career, your self-care, your family, your business, these are not things that are supposed to be in competition with each other. These are all elements of you in your life and things that the Lord has blessed you with. And it is the Lord who will show you how to live with all of these things in harmony. Sometimes that may look like pulling back on the business. Sometimes that may look like a different job with less hours that's less demanding. I don't know what that looks like in social work, but you know what I mean? It may exist. I don't know. I know that that is a demanding field. That may look like you adjusting how you do things, putting some things down, picking some things up, moving some things to later. I don't know. Your blueprint is customizable to you and it is crafted by Him. But what I want to direct you to is taking a hard stop so that you can seek Him on what that looks like. So practically, here's what I would advise you do. If you have some PTO saved up from work, whatever resources you have to use for work, I would use them to take a solid, I would say ideally a week. If not, let whatever PTO, sick leave, whatever you have to use it. During that time, also step away from the business. And use that time to fast and to pray. And that is what you will spend that entire period doing. And you sit with the Lord and let Him show you a different path forward. Because I promise you, nothing that you can accomplish is more important than your own health and wellness, and you being able to just enjoy what the Lord has blessed you with. We have to transition from surviving to savoring. That's something that I keep in my mind all the time when I feel my default that was survival mode trying to creep in. I remind myself, Tatum, we are not surviving. We are savoring. So take a second. Get back into your body, touch grass, take some deep breaths, do what you have to do to eliminate that hurry and to savor what's going on. Because these kids, as parents, I'm telling you, this is why I said in the last episode that I feel like a lot of the things that we have on our list to do, I feel like a lot of those things we should go after them and do them before we get married and have kids. Because you're going to have to slow down. And let me say this, you don't have to, but there are consequences of not. You should, when you have children, slow down and savor and enjoy them. When you get married, you should enjoy your husband. Have fun, do things together. Enjoy each other, savor each other. Those kids will only be young, but for so long, because eventually they're going to be out the house and have their own lives. And so it is our job, yes, to raise them and to in the ways that they should go and take care of business and instill the things that need to be instilled in them, but also to have fun with them, to build those memories, to enjoy them. So sis, the plan forward is we're moving from surviving into savoring. You're switching your source from self to the Holy Spirit. And that is going to change everything for you, in my opinion. That was a lot of S's. But write those things down, because I believe that that is going to heal you in more ways than one. I'm going to pull that episode, God Math, into the show notes, because I believe that that is a great perspective for you to adopt as you seek the Lord and recalibrate. The next question says, there's always been this struggle between the demands of my career and the demands of my calling as I see it, in the sense that I very much personally wish to devote my time to my personal studies in the Word, praying, church fellowship, etc., but at the same time have a lot to catch up with work. To resolve this dilemma, I have sought on several occasions to leave my profession and devote my time to my spiritual pursuit and the call to ministry, but various friends and elders have always encouraged me to hold on and try to navigate both the best I can, since I need the stable source of income the job offers. Hence, this has been my tug of war. So the question is, how do I navigate this phase, considering your own journey from the corporate to the business arena, which you felt called to? So when I made the transition, I was in my early 20s. So I'm going to tell you how I would do that now, not how I did it back then. So your job is your investor, and you have to look at it as such. I agree with the people in your life. Do not leave your job. What I would do instead is first logistically figure out time, which I would suggest waking up earlier or staying up late. That's step one. Carve out the time that you're going to work on your ministry. Now, then use your business as your investor. Start putting away, every business and every ministry needs capital. So I will open up a high yield savings account so that your money can earn while it's in there. And then I will start putting away money every single pay period into this savings account. That's what I will start doing today if I were you. Now, while you already have that in play, you got your time carved out where you're working your business. So whether it's you work your job 9 to 5 in the business or ministry 5 to 9, whatever the time period is, we're going to do what we got to do. Then I would start opening. I will open that account right now and I will start putting money aside. Now, while you're doing that, now it's time to define what this is that you're building. You said ministry or business. What kind of business is it? Or what kind of ministry? Is it a church? Is it an organization? How are you going to form it? Are you going to form it as a nonprofit organization? What are the requirements in your area for that? What are you going to be your offerings? How are you going to make money? All of the different questions that have to go into the foundations of building anything, I will begin to do that research now. So if it's a business, a good place to start is a business plan, because a business plan requires you to ask all the necessary questions to validate your idea and see what is it going to take for this business to be successful. If it's a ministry, I will start doing some research on the qualifications or the requirements, excuse me, of what is needed to form the ministry. If it's a church or a nonprofit, what operational documents do you need? What people do you need to have in place? Whatever the foundations are for what you're building, you should start looking into that. And then from there, start building. And I have to be vague because I don't know the specifics of what you're building, but that is how I suggest that you start. My husband, I'll use him as an example. He just turned 40 in December. There was something about when he turned 40 where something clicked or switched, or I don't know, it's like he stepped into something as it relates to his calling. And the Lord started speaking to him and the Lord started speaking to me. And one of the things that the Lord showed me was that he's called to be a pastor. And the Lord started talking to me about the church that he was going to start and how the Lord was going to do certain things and what the church would look like and all of these different specifics. And I kept a note in my phone because, I mean, if anybody's met my husband, this isn't news. Like, it's obvious that he's going to be a pastor. Like, he's the guy, his friends joke with him because every year they do a Thanksgiving or Friendsgiving dinner the night before Thanksgiving. And every year for the last 10 years, BJ takes his Bible. They have a picture. They did like a side by side of him 10 years ago and this past November, still having his Bible in his hand. He's just that person that you know is going to have a scripture for you or is going to have their Bible with them. Like, that's just who he is. And then character-wise, he is very caring, loving, all the things that you think of a pastor and all the qualities of a pastor, he has just as him. So it's a no-brainer that, you know, this is what the Lord is calling him to. And so the Lord shared with me specifics about the church he's going to found and what God is going to do. And I just kept a note in my phone. But at the same time, he was looking, he knew the Lord was calling him deeper. And he knew that, you know, he had this call on his life. But again, he has a profession. He's a CPA. He does business financial operations for his firm that he works for. He has 3 children with me. of course, he has his family, a lot of just real life responsibilities and not a lot of time because work, his job is demanding. His family's demanding. I'm in school, so there's a lot more on his plate because I have to go to campus every single day, and he's very active as a parent. So he was looking like, where is the time? I have these conflicting things going on, but nevertheless, the Lord is calling me deeper. The answer definitely ain't leave your job. Not now, at least. And there will be a time where he'll transition to ministry full time. But nevertheless, he had the same dilemma where it felt like work and other things were, you know, competing in a sense. And let me tell you what he does. He wakes up early every single day. Around like he wakes up before me, maybe sometimes 3, sometimes 4 a.m. And he's at that kitchen table with all 6 of his Bibles, reading, studying. He is in the middle of the day on his lunch break at work. He does like hybrid. Sometimes he works from home. Sometimes he works in the office. He goes and takes a break and pray. He has an alarm on his phone that goes off every 2 hours. And every 2 hours he prays. It might be 2 minutes right there at his desk. He prays out loud, or he might take a walk and go and pray. In the evenings, he prays after he puts the kids to sleep. He does the bedtime routine with 2 of the 3. I do the baby. He does the 2 boys. He prays and sits in his word, and he finds the time to do it. And while the priority right now isn't transitioning into full-time ministry, he's still doing ministry work. He's calling people that the Lord places on his heart and checking on them and praying for them. He's visiting family members who he knows needs prayer, or, you know, who the Lord may place on his heart. That's still ministry activities. And so he's still indirectly building his ministry by way of just being devoted to the Lord and doing whatever's necessary to stay devoted to the Lord. And so I would suggest for you to do the same thing. If the plan is right now to prepare for full-time ministry, do the practical things of opening up that savings account and putting the money to the side, and then building the foundation by either the business plan or whatever the ministry equivalent is for what you're looking to start. So that would be my suggestion. Keep the job, use them as your investors, do these practical measures, and then do whatever it is that you have to do to wake up early, stay up late, set those alarms to be able to continuously sit with the Lord and let him direct the specifics outside of that. All right, let's do one more. I've had a lot of questions about like survival mode and all of that. I'm going to have my girl, Dr. Walker, on here soon. I'm going to text her and see when we can record an episode, which might end up being some parts, because like it seems like a lot of us are dealing with that. A lot of people need to really address that issue. And that's specifically what she's talking about a lot on her podcast. But I want to bring that conversation here. So stay tuned for that, because a lot of my questions as I'm going through them have the same underlying themes. But let's go ahead and do one more. It says, "Hi, my name is Cassie, and I have a book and workbook that is about my journey trying to conceive. In the book, I talk about relying on God during my journey and how to build a relationship with him before conceiving. I wanted to know, how do you build community around this? I not only want to sell the book, but have a group of women that are part of a positive community trying to grow their relationship and rely on God while trying to conceive. Any tips would be beneficial. Thank you." My first tip would be, do a lot of research on the communities that already exist. There is a plethora of trying to conceive hashtag TTC communities online. There are so many. And unfortunately, I know a lot about them because I was believing in the Lord while trying to conceive all of my children. And there's just so much information out there. There's no shortage of communities. So in doing research that's beneficial to you, and I don't say that to discourage you because I actually think that it's a good thing. Because it's a good thing, you have a lot of opportunity to research what's working, what's not, and you have a lot of spaces to go to hear specifically from the people you want to build community with. You have the ability to eavesdrop on conversations that are happening in communities that are like what you're trying to build. And so by you doing this research and becoming a part of these communities, you can see what are people posting about the most? What are people wishing was here? What are people communicating that is a pain point for them that you're able to solve? And so the first step I say would be to spend considerable time in these communities and engaging with these women, because they're going to tell you exactly what it is that they're looking for. And specifically look for faith-based communities, because they'll start telling you the pain points that they have. Most of the time they're dealing with trying to delineate between the medical aspect and the faith aspect. And this was a problem that I dealt with when I was believing in the Lord to conceive, especially my second son, where I had the option and the suggestion to do IVF or go the natural route. And I was fully aware that the Lord, faith was going to be required in both, and that the Lord could move in both. And my dilemma was, okay, God, what is the path forward for me specifically? I didn't need more information. I knew that I would find information no matter which way I went. But God, what is the right way for me? And then I had to be patient to wait to get that answer. And being patient and waiting for his answer was the hard part. So where community was helpful for me, it didn't come from like an online community. It came from the people in my day-to-day real life. Where community was helpful for me was encouragement, being able to tell them like, man, I'm frustrated. I feel like I haven't heard from God yet. Being able to kind of tell them like, I think God said this, and they be able to call me on it and be like, okay, well, let's just wait and see if, you know, if that's true, let's just wait. Like, I was too emotionally invested on hearing an answer to always be as discerning as possible, or as discerning as I should be. And so having community allowed me to have an element of sobriety where I may not have had that if I was to continue on a journey alone. So I believe from my experience that a gap in the trying to conceive communities that I saw was that patience was missing from all of them. Like, it was, I mean, you see things where people are like, okay, I'm 10 DPO days post ovulation. For those of you who have no clue what any of these acronyms mean, there are so many when it is in the trying to conceive community. And I pray that you never need to know any of them, because when you're ready to have kids, it just happens easily. But unfortunately, for those of us who find ourselves in these communities, you see all of these acronyms and these countdowns from the day you ovulate to the day of your cycle, and people who obsess over taking pregnancy tests and trying to see the line get darker, because that will then indicate to them that the pregnancy is viable. Because unfortunately, once you find out you're pregnant, a lot of the times you don't even go to the doctor until like 2 months after that. And so there's this anxiety period of after ovulation up until the period. And then if you are pregnant, from the time that you have that positive test until the first doctor's appointment, especially if you're somebody who's dealt with miscarriages and things of that nature. So it's very stressful. There's a lot of stress and anxiety present in these communities. And we know that that is not the way in which the Lord wants us to be on this journey. And a mark of a believer who is trying to conceive is a peace that surpasses all understanding. It is a trust and a hope and a confidence in him. And so I think that's something that could be really useful, and do your research. But I think something that could be useful just for me as a consumer, when you're branding your community, to brand it around that, around peace, around trust, around hope, around confidence, because that anxiety and stress is extremely prevalent in other communities. Another tip that I would give you is think about how to add the practical in it as well, because some of us, there are practical things that we need to do while we're waiting for the Lord to conceive. Maybe it's losing some weight. Maybe it's eliminating stress. Maybe it's taking certain vitamins. Whatever the case may be, there are also practical things. Some of us might need IVF, and that may be God's will. Who knows? It's specific for every single person, but I believe I would suggest having a community that has all of those resources would be very valuable to the consumer. But my biggest tip would be to do that research, get active and involved in those communities that already exist, and let the people there tell you exactly what they're looking for. There are so many podcasts out there. There are so many YouTube channels. Like, you have endless market research opportunities here. So take full advantage of that. And along with wisdom from the Lord, let the women who are already actively engaging in those communities dictate what your community could look like. Also, I would suggest getting active on social media, because a lot of these women, that's where they're at. They're on social media, they're on TikTok, they're on YouTube, they're on Instagram, searching for solutions for trying to conceive. So when it comes to marketing your community, I would get very involved on social media as well, because that's where your audience is. I had a client, the Fertility Freak podcast. A lot of her listeners and clients found her on TikTok, because that's where she would be sharing different tips and scriptures and prayers and things, promoting her business. And a lot of her clients came from there. And so social media is a huge opportunity for you to promote. I don't like relying on social media personally, and I personally stay away from opportunities where I have to. But this is one of those communities where I'm like, all right, you're going to have a presence on there, because that's just where your audience is. So I pray that that helps. I'm going to go ahead and end the questions here. Thank you guys so much for submitting your questions. We have a few more, but a lot of them are dealing with like this survival mode theme. So I'm probably going to do just an episode on that and invite some folks on to have that conversation. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.